Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Wednesday, August 31st, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Before we bring our guest on today, we have to let you know that we're not going to have a show tomorrow, so this show is going to be on until Friday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this Friday night, we're going to appear on Alex Merklinger's Mysteries of the Mind radio show. We also have an interview next Wednesday. It's called Veterans Views, and we'll fill you in more on that next week. Also, our show yesterday about the OKBIC selling out to the 9/11 Mafia, the overwhelming amount of responses that we got said one thing basically is tell Chris Emery and OKBIC to get away from those people.
And not to sell out.
Right. And there was actually no negative response whatsoever. And everyone was just saying, get him away from those people. And last but not least, check out the article on the Wing TV homepage. In 3 days, gasoline has jumped 30 cents a gallon here. I heard in a town in New Jersey, overnight, gasoline jumped 50 cents a gallon. Folks, they're massacring us. And the worst part is we're so helpless in the face of what they're doing because they haven't given us any alternatives over the last few decades to do anything differently. So
also, our thoughts and prayers are with all the people in Louisiana, and
exactly,
particularly New Orleans and the surrounding areas.
Yeah, to see those scenes down there, it's absolutely horrific. And Lisa's right, as we send our sentiments to all of them. Now, our guest today is Dara Neely. She is the producer of this DVD. It's called Edgar Casey, The Beautiful Dreamer. We got to see this last week, and it was very, very intriguing. We've been definitely aficionados of Edgar Casey for many years
now. It's a wonderful video.
Yeah. So we'd like to welcome right now Dara Neely to Wing TV.
Neely.
Neely, I'm sorry. How you doing, Dara?
Hi, Victor.
Yeah. Well, to start off...
You deserve that.
Yeah, to start off, tell everybody how they can find this video, The Beautiful Dreamer, about Edgar Casey.
Well, we're getting ready to go nationwide in a couple of months, but right now, the best place is if people would like to know more about Edgar Casey the man, which is what our video DVD is all about, is we have edgarcasey.org, and that is the Edgar Casey Society,
okay,
where you can find out about Casey, his readings, the benefits that they offer through the Virginia Beach Organization, and go to the bookstore. Go to the part that says the bookstore, the ARE bookstore. You can buy it from them.
Okay.
And then you can also go to edgarcasey.com.
Okay.
And edgarcasey.com will have a button you can push that will take you right to caseycures.com, which is also where you can buy any of the Casey treatments that he came up with in trance.
Oh, okay,
so you can get the DVD, and you can go looking at some of the hermetic creations that he came up with that has saved people's lives, or at least helped and benefited them in a million different ways.
Right. Now, I've been reading Edgar Casey for years and years now, and I said recently that, well, this is a few years ago, but when Time Magazine came out and they gave their Man of the Century Award,
yeah,
I said I wouldn't have given it to the person they gave it to. I would have given it to Edgar Casey, not Man of the Year, not Man of the Decade, Man of the Century. That's how vitally important he is. And the thing I like best about him was that back in the early 1910s and 1920s, the famous magician Harry Houdini,
right,
he was on a binge to expose all the phony spiritualists because they were bilking people out of money and just
mm-hmm.
giving them false hopes. And when he went to meet Edgar Casey, that was the only person that he never was able to expose or
right.
never even wrote about because he was real, wasn't he?
Right. Exactly. In fact, Houdini became a friend of Casey's because
mm-hmm.
of that. And they visited each other a couple of times. But no, Houdini was quite impressed with him.
Wouldn't that have been a meeting to be able to sit in on that one, Harry Houdini and Edgar Casey?
Well, you know, the thing about Houdini, though, is that his thing was, even though he was a magician, he was still trying to find a way to break into the spiritual world.
Oh, absolutely.
He believed, because when his mother died, that he, you know, they were supposed to be able to reach each other.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. And of course, he had a thing with his wife, that there was a secret password between
mm-hmm.
them. that when he died, that she should be able to know his presence.
Right, right.
But the thing with Casey is that he could not get over that this man could do not only what psychics that he'd been able to debunk tried to prove that they could do,
mm-hmm.
but Casey was kind of the gymnast of all psychics.
Yeah.
I mean, he could, diagnose you, he could prescribe treatment, he could find out or know your past lives, and which had also causes for a lot of the illnesses and relationship problems that you're dealing
right.
with today.
So let me
but
ask
he also
you.
Knew the history of the world and the universe.
Yeah.
Right.
And the things like, he said that the Nile ran in a different direction. He said this in the early 30s. Well, in 1985, NASA saw from the space shuttle when they did heat-seeking photographs that he was right. The Sphinx. He said the Sphinx.
Right.
Now, this is in 1929.
Sarah.
He said the Sphinx was over 10,000 years old. And
how did
it totally not correctly dated the Egyptian era of the kings, the Valley of the Kings, especially the Sphinx.
Okay, Dara.
Well, the Sphinx, according to
Dara, hang on a second.
4,000 years old.
Yeah.
Well, they've now found out that it is older than 10,000 years
old. Right. Well, let me ask you this. How did Casey define the source of his abilities, and particularly his ability to diagnose and heal the sick?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think Casey felt, now you have to realize that from early childhood, we covered this in the documentary, he was visited, when he decided to read the Bible and get to know the Bible, he started reading it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was determined that every year he would read it all the way through, and that he'd start again the next year. So he read it through by the time of his death over 67 times.
Wow.
And was quite a biblical scholar. But when he was about 8 or 9, when he started doing this, he was visited in the woods by an angel who asked him what he wanted to do. And he said, I want to heal people, sick people, and especially children. And the angel said that that's what will happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that he had a strong belief in Christ and in God. And I think that he felt that the readings validated that the Christian, his Christian beliefs were the right direction to go. But at the same time, his readings told him that all beliefs were the road to God, as long as they were good and holy. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
and
one of the things
we should not judge each other for the beliefs we held, as long as they respected and loved mankind.
Yeah, one of the things he wrote about a lot was the Essenes, and this was a sect that existed around the time when Jesus was born and was living. Yes, and Casey says that not only was John the Baptist a member of the Essenes, but also John the Baptist's parents, and quite possibly even Mary and Joseph. So
exactly,
what do you know about the Essenes that most people wouldn't be aware of?
Oh Lord, you're really going to advance Casey. There's some beautiful books the ARE bookstore has on, they call it The Christmas Story, I think, where they talk about Casey's version in trance about the birth of Christ
mm-hmm.
and about Mary and Joseph. And, what you see is a religious group that kind of protected and helped bring about the birth of Christ.
Yeah, I agree.
And that these were people that had very strong, pure religious values, you know, where you do unto each other, and that hate is its own evil, and that nothing good comes from it, and that the only healing comes from forgiveness and true love.
Yeah.
And when we really truly realize, because that's why the reincarnation part is so important, that we're all really from the same source, and that we're all really related, and that we just keep coming back, being our husband, father, son, you know, that we come back as families to help us learn to grow closer to God.
Hmm.
That we teach each other the lessons, the life lessons we are supposed to learn.
So let me ask you, Darrell.
Yes.
I read that his grandfather had similar abilities, and I'd like to know, were Casey's abilities something he considered to be unique to himself, or did he think other people could do
these
things?
There were other people. You ought to read the book, There is a River, by Thomas DeGruy. Mm-hmm. That was the first book written on Casey. And he talks about it, I think, somewhere in the book, that there were, like 100 years before and 100 years before that, in France and I think the other one was in Germany or Spain, of a young man who, they had sadder endings because I think they were either killed or over-medicated, who had these abilities in trance to do somewhat the abilities that Casey had. And of course, a lot of your people may not even realize what Casey could do. I mean, you have to know that this was a man with an 8th grade education
right.
in a one-room schoolhouse in Kentucky, in rural Kentucky, who was able to lie down, go into trance, and he had to know ahead of time where you were going to be. If you, he's in Hopkinsville and you're in Tokyo, in the Tokyo hotel room 614, at 9:15 in the morning, he would lie down, go into trance, and say, yes, we have the body, and go through you like a human MRI machine.
And diagnose.
And diagnose right. and create treatments if treatments did not exist.
Exactly, yeah. Now,
that's
you mentioned,
why he's called the father of holistic medicine.
Yeah.
He had to create, or he didn't, you know, the readings did, a lot of the medications that he had to give to the people.
Right. Now, you mentioned reincarnation before, and you also mentioned that Edgar Casey was a Christian. So
yes.
before he went into these trances later in his life and started talking about reincarnation, he didn't even believe in any of this
no.
stuff, and it took a lot
and
of time to reconcile.
And he was quite upset. The story yeah. comes that Arthur Lammers was a friend of the Caseys, and in 1923 he went to Edgar and he said, I know you don't believe in horoscopes, he said, but would you mind if I asked in the reading, you know, about my horoscope? And Casey said, you're right, I don't, but I'm curious as to what the readings will say. Well, the reading came back saying that your horoscope does affect you, but not the way you think. It's more an inward path. It's not an outward path. It's not so much the outward world as just you psychologically. He said, but what is really bothering you is not your horoscope. It's that in your last life, you were a monk.
Mm-hmm.
And with those words, it opened the doors
to
Casey doing what they called the life readings.
Right.
And Casey had to look into it because it really bothered him. And she said there was no preparation for him to do past life readings.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So let me ask you.
To the fact that in the 4th century, you know, when Constantine was trying to recreate the Bible
right.
and getting control of the pagans and the Christians and bring them all under one umbrella, and he wanted to keep pagan holidays, like Christmas is actually one of the pagan holidays. He wanted to get the reincarnation out of the Bible.
That was the Council of Nicaea.
Up until that point, it was a part of it.
Right. Yeah. So should the reincarnation information in Casey's readings be taken symbolically or literally?
I'm not sure I understand the way you meant that.
Well, there's a lot of repetitive stuff in there, repetitive time culture slots. Should people take the information on past lives literally or to symbolize other things?
I think probably you can take them both ways. I mean, for the individual, I think that there was a lot of personal relationships going on. I mean that a person that might be having trouble with their father this lifetime might have found out that in their last time it was their husband, and they left them, you know, for another man, and that's why they're having this trouble, or that this is an unrequited love, and they're just finally getting together, whatever. Sometimes people might have an injury in the shoulder in this lifetime that's still driving them crazy, whereas last time somebody killed them or stabbed them in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story about a woman who was afraid of lions and really couldn't stand to see them, even in the zoo, would get deathly ill. Well, you found out that in the early Christian time, she was fed to the lions.
Hmm.
And what she had, and of course, what the interesting thing was, is that when Casey brought the past life information to them, it had a healing effect. So therefore, that's what made it relevant.
Hmm.
Not that he could tell them, oh, you know, you were this and that. It was that this made a difference in their knowledge today into curing them or getting them better.
Now, Dara, I wrote a book called The Real Reason Jesus Was Crucified. And in this, I talk about some of the information you were mentioning about the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. And also, Edgar Casey says that Jesus spoke quite a bit about reincarnation, and he went to study the four Gospels and pointed out quite a number of different instances when this was true. So when he first started finding out about reincarnation, then he followed it up, didn't he?
Yes. In fact, Casey says that Christ was, in his last life, Joseph, and is that Ezekiel and I forget.
All the way back to Adam.
And of course, Christ was the first Adam.
Yeah.
Because Casey says that God put His Son on the earth in five different people at the very beginning, and one in each color of the races, and had them go all over the world.
Casey gave many thousands. Casey gave many thousands of readings over his 43-year career. I've read varying numbers. One number was 14,000 or over 14,000.
About 14,097 that are recorded and left.
Okay,
there
so let me
ask you.
There was
a woman, his first secretary, because he didn't remember any of it. If he wasn't recorded by someone,
uh-huh.
It was not. It didn't exist unless you heard it by then.
My question is this, Sarah.
P. Poole recorded a lot of his early readings and she didn't know what to do with them, so she burned them.
He made a number of prophecies, among them warning of a future revolution in America. And considering the tumultuous times that we're living in today, do you think maybe we might be headed towards seeing this made manifest?
Now, I'm not sure about which revolution you're talking about. I know that he talks about a lot of, because some people say things are Casey that aren't Casey.
Well, this
and
one I have here.
It's amazing how much things get turned around. He does say that 50 people in prayer can change anything. He does say, and like this thing that happened with New Orleans, he predicted a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Major earthquakes and a lot of change in the way that we know the United
Earth
States
changes.
Today.
Right.
And, Florida.
But I'm not talking about earth changes. I'm talking about...
You hear different things, and those aren't things that I've read or know about in that particular way, no.
Okay.
Now, we know that Edgar Casey also gave a couple readings for Woodrow Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, we can't prove that.
Okay.
But we found a lot of what you call Sidney Kirkpatrick, who wrote the latest book on Casey,
right,
called The American Prophet, what we call smoking guns, where mm-hmm. Train reservations and... Colonel Starling of the Secret Service was from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, which is where Casey was from. And they were good friends and he had done readings for Colonel Starling. All right, well, Colonel Starling was the chief of the Secret Service. And when Woodrow Wilson had a stroke, a major stroke, we have a strong feeling that Starling snuck him into Washington to do secret readings for the president and his wife, to just see if there was anything that could be done.
Among his abilities, Casey's said to have been able to view the Book of Life called the Akashic Records. Could you please tell people who don't know what that is a little bit about it?
Well, and there's a very vivid dream he has about that, which is really quite phenomenal. The Akashic Records is something that we all hold in our souls for each other. And it's the Book of Life, which has the story of every life and every soul written in it. And when people are trying to find past lives in each other, sometimes they can stare at each other. If they have a past life between them, they can stare at each other with a candle nearby and watch their faces disappear. And sometimes they'll see one face after another go by.
Wow.
And then they'll see one face on each other, and they'll come together on it. And that will show that was a past life they held in common.
Yeah.
Casey had a dream one time that he went into a long, beautiful marble library with books everywhere, and he was able to go and open the drawers and see his own life and see the effect of each person on his life, and that he also could see and pull out books and records of what would happen if he hadn't, say, met his wife, if he hadn't met Gertrude, who was such a supporter in his readings. She would have died of tuberculosis when he cured her when they were first married, and he would have died shortly afterwards.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he needed her as his stronghold.
Yeah. How about Edgar Casey on Atlantis, real quickly?
Yes. Oh, real quickly.
Yeah.
It's only 700,000 years of existence. Well, when he started doing past life readings, some of them went back to Atlantis and before Atlantis, and the interesting thing was is that a lot of people, you know, kind of grouped together in Atlantis. Atlantis went for 250,000 years as a big continent, then it broke down into large, big islands for 50,000 years, and then the last 10,000 years they were small islands of Atlantis and Pisidia and a few other islands, and of course like Plato said, went to a major destruction at the end rather quickly. And what happened is Atlantis had a lot of pyramids in their structures. When the last destruction of Atlantis happened, people fled quickly that could flee and get out of the area, went to the Yucatan and went to Egypt. And, of course, both places have pyramid-like structures.
Mm-hmm. Gladys
and
Davis.
Casey's readings say that under the Sphinx someday will be uncovered a very old library that was built at the beginning of the Sphinx, which will have Atlantis records in it.
Gladys Davis is his secretary. She was his assistant. But I guess initially she didn't get along well with his wife and later was said to have been actually his soulmate.
Okay, no, I don't know that. You know, I don't think that that's ever the case that they didn't get along. Not really, no. You have to realize that he had to have somebody record the reading.
Uh-huh.
And for the when he first started doing it, he had his father, and then he had a doctor do it that was supposed to be helping. And then he found out the doctor was doping horses on the readings and getting information on gambling. So he quit until his son had a very bad accident, and he had to start doing it again just to get a reading for his son. And then his wife stayed and did the readings. But it became very draining for her to do it all the time.
Right.
And so they met when they were in Selma, Alabama, this lovely woman named Gladys Davis.
Mm-hmm. She was lovely.
And she became his permanent secretary for the rest of his life. And yes, the records did say they were soulmates.
Right.
Now, Gertrude handled it very beautifully.
Yeah. There's so many stories and so many things we could talk about. But real quickly, the name of the video is
Edgar Casey, The Beautiful Dreamer.
Right. And one last question, Dara. Whenever Edgar Casey tried to use his readings or his gifts solely for the purpose of making money, it seemed to invariably fail, didn't it? Why do you think that is?
I think the question needs to be rephrased.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that Edgar Casey ever tried to use it for making money.
He was duped.
Right.
He never asked for money. It was donation only.
Well,
and a lot of times he never got anything. He could save people's lives and they wouldn't give him a cent.
Mine was like the oil wells
and their tragedy is over, don't seem to value it greatly.
Yeah.
He never had enough money. His sons, when I was talking to his son that still left, Edgar Evans, his eyes would still swell up with tears at the fact that his father never had enough respect for himself because he felt he couldn't provide for the family.
Yeah.
He would charge just to help get by. Well, not charge, but it was donation only.
Right.
But what was your question? I started to lose
my
story.
When he would try to go into the oil wells and so forth.
Oh, right.
Like that. It didn't seem to work.
Edgar Evans Casey and his son that died, Hugh Lynn, the two sons went and looked at all the readings that Casey did. 99% were for health or for other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
1% was for people looking for lost treasure, for him. See, he wanted to do the oil wells to help finance this hospital that he wanted so badly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when he did readings, doctors thought he was a quack and wouldn't follow through, and therefore people would die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted that hospital very badly. Well, we think that people got in the way of his oil well thing in Texas because they didn't want it to follow through.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think that we've always felt when you deal with the spiritual, that when you use the spiritual to go for money, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
I was
going
to say, that didn't happen to be Bush family, did it?
Yeah. Well, Dara, thank you so much for coming on Wing TV. I wish we had about 3 hours to talk about all this stuff. He's just such a fascinating man. Everybody out there, the DVD's called The Beautiful Dreamer. Edgar Casey.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And that's at edgarcasey.org. And remember, Casey spelled C-A-Y-C-E.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
.org and .com.
Yeah. So thank you for being on today. We'll be back on Friday. We're going to talk about economics, the high price of gasoline, outsourcing to China, and so many other things. So until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Thank you very much, Dara.
You're welcome.